on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all RSS feeds. You can also catch up all the previous shows there, including this one. Don't forget, the show is live on 3FM 92.7 Facebook page, ably produced by Emmanuel Andam, Nana Kweku Anderson, and the rest of the team. Billy Shen is here, Prince is here, and then Augustine Kwanza is also here. Gentlemen, good evening, and thanks for joining me.
Good evening.
Landing, not landing, is red. Yeah.
Better put.
Yeah, not landing is. In fact, the whole landing self, who is Chelsea, please?
Oh.
Not landing is red.
Not landing is red. Kwanza. Yes.
Yeah, good evening. And then, Watara might finally be going. So, yes.
You think so? The management says he's not going in. The board, actually. If I say management, I'm actually reducing their post. Oh, the board. Then, it was just this Friday.
Mm. Yeah, oh, but. Things like this, you see some even in Europe.
They said no five-game ultimatum has been given.
So what if they lose those five games? Is he still going to remain at post? Which I think some of the fans will take it upon themselves, go to Pobman and then sack him. So, yeah.
Well, we just wait to see what happens, but we'll not waste any time. Let's start from the CAF Confederation Cup and the CAF Champions League campaigns by Nshuachemane and then Samatex to start with the latest on the board. Samatex this afternoon, 2-2 draw. Gaston Kwanzaa, I was there with you. You know, what do you make of that game? Very poor start, but they recovered very well in the first half. The second half was just in tatters, and then the Moroccans just took advantage, and then they ran away with a draw.
Yeah, Kelvin, you see, what we witnessed at Accra Sports Stadium was something we all got stunned with at a point in time.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone was going there and expecting Samatex to put up that performance they really showcased at the stadium. Mind you, they are playing against Raja Casablanca, one of the biggest sides in Africa. And then, especially going down by a goal in the first half, and in the space of about 15 minutes, these players were able to regroup, restructure, and then man everything at Raja Casablanca and at least get 2 goals in the first half. They were up by 2-1 in the first half. And I was also afraid for them in the second half because especially coming up against such a side and then you being on the winning side with 45 minutes to go, you are playing at home. And you know what this North African can do. They are very good tactically, technically, and they get what they want at a point in time. And they are those kind of football people you call, they have that tunnel vision like scope of football.
Yeah.
They don't care about how they play.
Mm-hmm.
They just want the results.
Okay.
And that's what they got. Samatex really dominated the midfield. Lord Hailarada, that was a thumbs out to him. He dominated the midfield.
I think that player was
Yes. And him coming from a relegated side, RTU is something. Yes, he came and he did very well. Samotete and then Isaac Afo on the flanks for them was also superb. Emmanuel Mama, Labine Ame couldn't get what he always gets as well.
Yeah.
Yes, but then I think Coach Amedu did well. And as he said in the post-match conference, he's learning on the job. And then he's getting, with time, adapt to what the North Africans do. Because in their first game against the Cameroonian side, it was just a West African affair. Now they play the North African side. And it comes more difficult with them going away. And I just hope that they go there and they play like how Dream Chelsea played against Zamalek like in that first leg, where it was just like 10 defenders and Abdulaziz Issa. So, yes, you go, try your best possible, and then defend very well. If you don't consider going, then by some Jirigogo means, which I think will be quite difficult, they get a going. That is it for Samatex. But as I said, it's going to be very difficult for Samatex. And then them getting into the group stages for Ghana, if possible, will be something that's going to benefit Ghana because that's where we stand a chance of getting at most 4 teams in the CAF Interclub Continental Competition, which is the CAF Champions League Confederations Cup. And there's a whole criteria for that. So if they get into the group stages, our points actually need to go up and then multiply multiply by 5 and then it goes that way. So we are praying as a country on, I think next week they'll play there.
Yeah, next week.
We all need to go to church, pray for them, be on our nails for Samatex. Now, it's not just Operation Summerboy. It is Operation Ghana. Because if Samatex don't qualify to the group stages, it might get to a point where we might not see our Kotoko I had to poke. Let me know. Mention their name now. Kotoko. Yes, Kotoko getting a chance to play in Africa next year. Because FA Cup, it doesn't seem to be the business of Kotoko. Their concentration solely goes onto the league. And the league is becoming very difficult. You see Mediama having two wins already. Samatex, with how they are playing, I don't think Kotoko would be able to beat them with what I saw at our class for team today. So they obviously the best side currently with what we are seeing in Ghana. So we should rally behind them. And the supporters today, it was quite a surprise. Outside the stadium, I heard some noises. And when I was drawing closer to the venue, I thought it was the fans of Samatex. I entered just to realize that it was the fans of Raja Casablanca. They were just everywhere. It cheering up like as if they were playing at home. So this is just, I think, 1% of what they are going to experience in Morocco. So they should get prepared for that psyche themselves psychologically and then be able to get a very good mental fortitude to fight for themselves.
Well, let's see how they are going to do that. Bill, it wasn't also an impressive one for, you know, Swatcherman. Two goals to nil.
Yeah.
CS Constantine at the Accra Sports Stadium.
Really not impressive. And for a side that started the competition without conceding, home and away in the running to, you know, the game on Saturday, I think it was very disappointing. Also knowing that they were playing at home, and usually teams struggle to get results away from home when it comes to CAF competitions. And so they put themselves in a very, very deep pitch, very, very deep hole that they might not be able to get themselves out of. Mm-hmm. And it's disappointing. But then again, it's the first time they are competing in a competition like this. It will be a learning experience. As to whether they can get back through winning the MTN FA Cup, that's another question altogether. But I think what they can do right now is to just fight for pride in the second leg. If by a miracle they win by 3-1, great. But I don't think they can do that. Mm-hmm. I just think they can just fight for pride and then get as many goals as they can and try not to concede and see what happens from there.
What do you think might have contributed to this fall or this drop for the Swatcherman team? Is it inexperience? Is it lack of, you know, personnel? What do you think?
So, I mean, some time ago I was speaking to Noah Adams and he mentioned how Constantine can really worry a team like Swatcherman.
Yeah.
And it has really shown on the pitch that they are a team that is strong enough to disturb a team like Swatcherman. And of course, I personally feel Swatcherman didn't beef up the squad the way they should have during the off season to compete in a competition like this. For example, you remember Dreams FC, they went to get John Entry.
Yeah.
Because they knew they were going to compete in the CAF Confederation Cup. And John Entry was a guy who had played for Zamalek and other Egyptian clubs and played in CAF Champions League, played in CAF Confederation Cup, knew the terrain. But I feel Swatcherman didn't have players of that mold who know that terrain, who know how to play against opponents like these and, you know, get results. And so I think that costed them. And, you know, people would not want to say, but Marcel Konedu's exit has still hit them. Has still hit them hard, because Maxwell Konedu is someone with great international experience, even manages the Black Stars as a caretaker at some point, knows what it means to play in the big games and to coach in the big matches.
Exactly.
As compared to Yapreko. Yapreko is a very good manager, a solid one. But when it comes to the kind of experience that we need managerially, Maxwell Konedu has more of that experience. And I think losing him has sort of costed, you know, Swatcherman. And it's a shame. But again, it's just a learning experience. Maybe they can rebuild with Yao Preko and hopefully keep him if, for, you know, some reason or the other, they get to compete in the CAF competition again.
Well, some reason or another. But one striking thing was the state of the Accra Sports Stadium pitch. And, you know, from Friday till now, all those coaches who have played on the pitch have actually complained. Yeah. It wasn't just about the away team, the home team have also complained.
Yeah, Casablanca's coach.
Yeah, yeah, Prince, this has been very terrible, you know, from the national team. It looks like none of our pitches in this country is much conducive. How does it affect, you know, players, and what can we actually do about it to get these manners off?
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you for having me once again. Okay, so I think that I got the opportunity to see the highlights. Yeah. I feel like I mean, I even overheard people saying that the stadium in Accra even looks better than the one in Kumasi. I don't know how true you were there. So, but I feel like the players in it, the players of Sotreman are not that bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, the little details in the final third is what cost them. I think that when they get to, I don't know whether they were a bit erratic, they were just shooting anyhow. But I feel like, you know, like we discussed last week, mm-hmm. if we leave everything to the pitch, I mean, I hear these guys come around off-season and then they play on Sakura Parks. Mm-hmm. So we have no right to complain. But, I mean, in as much as we can still have our arguments about the pitches, you lost.
Yeah.
I mean, they scored you two clear goals. So you could have also done something if the quality was there. So I think that our game in a whole has fallen off the standards. So
it's not about the pitch. The standards.
So I think that it will be a bit simplistic if we limit the argument to just the pitch. Yeah, okay. The pitches. But these same guys go to their local areas and then they play on this Sakura patched pitches. And you may say that is just for the fun of it, but at the end of the day, you're a footballer. You're trained for a certain agenda. So when you get there and there are challenges, how do you overcome them? How come your counterpart or your opponents are able to make do with that pitch that is not good and are able to still have their results? So I think that the excuse of the pitches is becoming one too many. I mean, you decided to play on that pitch. Your opponents were able to make good their chances.
Yeah.
You should also make good of yours. So I think that we are not clinical. Our football in general has dropped.
Well, they are not clinical. And I think Noureddin Ahmad has mentioned that in his post-game conference. I'll be coming to Bill, but Augustine, if you listen to Noureddin Ahmad, his complaints about, Ghanaian football players or strikers or attackers not being able to finish off, strikes, where does the problem lie? Is it not with the same coaches who have been training these lads? Or is it about the lack of the basics that these guys don't have? Because we've seen so many top strikers. Ghana is a country that shouldn't be bereft of top attackers.
This seems to be like we are in a generation where we actually are having a decline rate of what we need in terms of strikers currently. Mm-hmm. Yes, you look at 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where we could boast of quality strikers who could score the goals in and out of the penalty box. Now we are not having, and on top of that, we are not having, and then the pitch in a way is also affecting it, such that we might come back in about 10 years time and then talk about it worse. We have young guns coming, and then these young guns are also playing on pitches, which are artificial pitches, they actually have now in almost every community. You go to every community and then those natural pitches there have now been refurbished into artificial pitches, and those artificial pitches, you have to pay about 100, 200 cedis even to play on it.
Yes.
And then these local boys are not even getting the chance to play on that. Mm-hmm. So they then resort to those Sakasaka park and then those gravel parks and others to play.
Yeah.
So if it's now that we are even lacking, let's put the coaching aside. If the basics is not even, if you are not even getting the basics, you get to a point, a coach will polish. It's just like polishing a faded black shoe. Mm-hmm. You can polish. You wear it to get a point to show that it's fit.
Yeah, like Lukaku.
But he's delivering. Right.
So,
two assists.
Can you polish Lukaku?
Antonio Conte is polishing. So you can polish and polish, but if the basics is not that strong,
mm-hmm.
you get to a point where you really need it and you fail.
Yeah.
For example, a striker like Kalu Rata.
Yeah.
You think he'll get a good coach, you'll polish, but when you need him most, he'll fail. There are a lot of strikers. That's why we get local players, local strikers to the Black Stars, and they are not even able to perform on that big stage because the basics is bad. Mm-hmm. And that's why, time to time, in about 5 years' time, almost all our players will be players that we will import. from other nations. Yeah. Oh, if you've seen this player playing in France in Division 2, or he's a Ghanaian, let's go and convince him. Yeah. Because Fatou isn't for the basics here. It's been bad. The coaches will do whatever. We can take the coaches to France, to Clairefontaine, to St. George's, to train them for strikers. They will come here and still face the same problem because the basics, we don't even have pitches that these young guns are going to play on.
Mm. Bill,
they have us protests.
Mm. Bill, these are the words of a guessing, but how do we resolve this, Kankai? And also, you know, this issue of the pitches. I know this week has gone on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
What would you have to say about this?
Yeah, if Casablanca coach will come out and say it is not possible to play on this pitch that we played on.
Yeah.
It's a very big dent on a football nation like Ghana. Very big dent. This is a nation that won 4 AFCONs.
Mm-hmm.
This is the nation that produced top strikers like Asamoah and Yegola.
Yeah.
We produced so many. Even in the local scene, we've seen Mahatma Otu,
Ishmael Ados,
Prince Tego all passed
Eric
through.
Bequin and all
that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We had all these names. Right now, which local striker can you call? Which one?
No one.
Ah, okay.
Who? Hamza Issa.
Okay.
Cool.
His coach doesn't even trust him to lead his attack.
Yeah. But as Augustine mentioned earlier, I think the presence of the AstroTurfs are sort of killing our improvements, the basics of our game, because those Sakura dusty gravel pitches were the base of a lot of people's game. I remember back in Obuasi, we have Black Park. Yes. We have Black Park in Obuasi. Yes. That is where a lot of the kids go and play ball. And it's free. You don't pay to go and play at Black Park. You don't pay.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the kids go and play, refine their skills, you know, score goals and all of that. And then, you know, club coaches, scouts spot them and then take them up and then, you know, refine them a bit more.
Yeah.
I think we don't have as much as that anymore because of that about 150 AstroTurfs built in this country, which I think is a farce. I don't understand why you spend this much money on AstroTurfs in a condition like this and the AstroTurf is not even good. And you expect improvement. You expect to get a lot more of the local talents improving and getting to a level where they can play for the Black Stars. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Welcome back from the break. There's a Sports Ultras here on 3FM 92.7. Getting into the Ghana Premier League, we are done with the Africa Intercontinental Championship. Yes, the CAF Confederation Cup, the CAF Champions League. And also issues surrounding that because many have expressed their displeasure on the nature of the pitches in Ghana. It wasn't an ideal situation for the Ghanaian side, but hopefully they will travel all the way to their other opponents and see if they can get the results that they need. So some other matches that will be coming up this evening. So there is Orapa United against Dynamos. That game has already been played, but later Al Ahly Tripoli will be playing against Simba SC and Al Hilal will be playing against El Masri. Now let's get into the Ghana Premier League match day 2 of the 2024-2025 Ghana Premier League started on Saturday at the Lagos Stadium. Lagos City is lost by a goal to nil to Medeama SC. Bechem United nil. Adriana FC nil. Brekum Chelsea 1, Karela United 0, Heart of Lions 2, Accra Heart of Folk 0, Young Apostles 0, Nations Football Club 0, and Holy Star sat at home. They settled for a goalless draw against Dreams Football Club. And then Accra Lions will be playing against Vision FC, that is tomorrow at the Accra Sports Stadium. Sabatex, Bibiani Gold Stars, that game is going to be played at a later date, and Asantico against Swaterman also at a later date because of Swaterman and Samatex playing in Africa. Just one goal recorded by the top scorers Meshack Efrey and Anakwami Opo Ishmala, Ado, Kamaradine Mahmudu, and then Prince Trenebois. So you look at the table, Medeama running away 6 points from 2 games, Heart of Lions with 4, Brekum Chelsea with 4, Holy Stars with 4 in Swatcherman with 3, Bibiani Gold Stars with 3, Asante Kotoko with 3, Bechem United are 8th. They have 2 points, same points, Adriana are 9th. Nations FC with 2 points are 10th. Dreams FC have 2, they are 11th. Samatex with a point are 12. Vision FC have 1 point, they lie 13th. They play against Accra Lions tomorrow. There's also Young Apostles, they also have 1 point. And then Accra Lions have no point after one game. Legon City's no points after two games. Akarela United, no points after two games. And then Almighty Accra had to fork at the base of the table. Two matches, no point for the Phobias. Bill, starting with you. What's the problem with Accra Hatufuk?
The problem with Accra Hatufuk. I think a lot of people have stated their reasoning. I remember Prince Tego, when he came here some time ago, mentioned that the management of Hatufuk do not allow the legends of the club to sort of get involved, you know, with regards to around the club, you know, talking to the players and all of that. They've sort of shifted them away from the club. And because of that, those players do not have those legends to look up to for advice and all of that. And also their scouting, problematic. Watara's time at the club, not so great. In about 19 games, he's lost more than he's won, which isn't a good sign too. For Hatufuk, I think the quality within the team has dropped a significant lot, right? This is so different from the about 2020-21 or 2021-22 season, around that time, mm-hmm. where Samuel Boydu won the league. Remember, we had Daniel Efiye Banier, we had some other chaps in the team who were really, really good across board, from defense to attack. And that time, Richard Atta was on form. He even got called up to the Black Stars and all of that. Now, I think the only person in memory who I think is good, Hamza Issa. The rest, a lot of question marks. And I mean, I've heard from circles that even during preseason there were troubles with some of the players. Some of the players will say they are ill when in fact they are not, and because of that they don't train, and the coach had to deal with all of that, plus his tactics are not also working. So it's a combination of a number of things, mm-hmm. which is not particularly working from them, and they are getting into a kind of level where a lot of fans wouldn't want. This is the first time they've lost their first two Ghana Premier League matches since October 2009. That should tell you how long it was that Hatufuk looked like they shine like this.
Yeah.
And then they now shine like that. This is the reality. Last year, this is a club that was battling with relegation and narrowly escaped it. This is now the club's level. This is not the same as the club that won a treble in 2000.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but the fans have to realize, Hisiano, Omasa, and they have to change a lot of things.
Well, this is from Belashan. They need to change a lot of things. If you're an Accra Hatufuk fan or any Ghana Premier League fan listening to me now, let me activate my phone line. 0559-242-717, 0556-910-154. You can call right now. Is it time for Watara to be sacked, or you think Hatufuk needs something else? Let us know right now what is wrong with Hatufuk. This evening we are finding the remedy right now on this show. 0559-242-717, 0556-910-154. Yes, I have activated my phone lines. Yes, my producer Emmanuel Andam has done that. So I'm waiting for your call. 0559-242-717, 0556-910-154. What is the problem of Accra Hatufuk? Is it the coach, or is it lack of quality or good quality materials? Prince, what is the bane of the Phobians?
Well, like I said earlier, you know, I think the whole Ghana football, mm-hmm. you know, when you sit in our offices and the boys come on a Monday morning and they want to discuss football, they're so pissed. And personally, I follow Accra Hatufuk. You know, it's a team that I once loved. I mean, right now I'm a bit indifferent because I don't understand what really is going on. But I think that our supposed fans must accept that they are not it currently. They are not it. So they must also understand that the investment, you know, you'd hear of a Kotoko go to bring somebody from, you know, Cameroon or Ivory Coast. Mm-hmm. But we don't see that happen with Hustle Food. What are their scouts doing? Because if it's not working, if the talent here, you need maybe one or two different talent from another country. I think it should be encouraged, actually, because I feel like our African brothers understand that football in Ghana is here, when in fact we can all see that it's dwindling, it's dropping. So I don't know how their recruitment regime is like, but I feel like I like Kotoko for one thing. If they see a player even in Brazil, they would sign the chap.
Yeah.
So long as it can be done. So I think that Hustle Folk must come out of that regime and begin to look elsewhere to try to beef up certain areas in the team that would make the team begin to compete again. Because trust me, right now, I mean, looking at what they did last season, bringing it back into this season, it's as if they are retrogressing by the day. There's no progress being made. And so, you know, the boys will come to the office and then they are just down, you know, the phobia boys. And I speak on behalf of all of them when I say that, you know, we are not it anymore. We are just in the doldrums. Right now, we really need saving. So there must be an overhaul, okay? I don't know who is in charge of recruitment, but I feel like somebody's sleeping.
Somebody's sleeping on his job. Well, you can call right now, 0559-242-717. What is the problem of Accra Atofuk? 0556-910-154. 0559-242-717 and 0556-910-154. What is the problem of Accra Atofuk? Is it the coach? Is it lack of, you know, quality, good quality players, I should say, because quality can be bad quality. So, yes, I just need to, you know, put that adjective there to advert to qualify it. Well, I already have my first caller. Hello.
Hello, Maza.
Oh, Chairman, your name and where are you calling from?
Maza, my name is Albert. I'm calling from East Lagos.
All right, Albert from East Lagos, let us have your thoughts.
For my best of knowledge, you see, Ouattara seems, during the recruitment, they handed over everything to him. And he kept along in recruiting players. They will bring this player, at times Ouattara will reject them. And as you are saying, it seems we are lacking of experienced players in the team. Look at the fight between the coach and this guy, this right hand back, Ampedu. You see, we are lacking the left or right, and you are rejecting this boy. The same thing he did. You see, this thing should be resolved administratively. Ouattara did all the recruitment. He said, I was even asking someone, he said when Ouattara came, they didn't show him our clips, the way we play our game. The boys could not, when I won the match on this thing, the boys could not handle ball. When they handle ball, 1, 2, 3, then they collect the ball. We are lacking our experience up in front there. And the defense, same thing. The defense, there's no pillar, the controller of defense. Look at all the chip goals. In fact, we are pleading with the management to be with the coach. The coach, it seems when they say something, he doesn't listen to them at all. In fact, we are pleading with them. We are crying. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ali. The man is in tears. 0559-242-717. 0556-910-154. You can call right now. 0559-242-717 and 0556-910-154. What is the problem of Accra Atofuk? Is it the coach, or you think it's the players? Where can they find the antidote? What is causing Hustle Folks woes? 0559-242-717, 0556-910-154. Hello?
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 Yes,
sir. Your name and where are you calling from?
This is Director.
All right, Director, let's hear from you.
Yeah, do you know what's wrong?
about Accra as a whole. Now, football in this country, it's not a matter of that you are the popular team. You see, Accra as a whole, they know how to play ball, but they like driven playing soccer. How to score, that is the point that you get. But they don't want to score, but they are drilling in their own goal post. It will not help them. But you know, this year is going for Kotoko and Bofoka. I watch Bofoka Demademwe, Maza. That thing is another strong thing in this country.
Wait, thank wait. Bofoka have been relegated, though.
The first team, this thing.
Mediema.
No. That new team, the new team that comes.
Holy Stars, Masake Holy Stars.
Yeah, no. The new team that they want.
Vision
they,
FC.
They play the MK, yeah.
Okay.
They play MKFC in Cap.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's another strong team in this country.
All right.
So thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening. Say your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Akinfusu.
Your name, please.
I'm calling me Da Costa.
All right, Da Costa, let's have your thoughts. What's the problem with Accra Asuvu?
Kotoko win a match today.
No, Asante Kotoko will play against Nswacheman, but that game would be at a later date. Eh? Because Nswacheman played in Africa, Kotoko did not play this weekend. He doesn't care about Accra Asuvu. Hey, Charlie, people don't care about their bitterest rival. So, 05. Hello. Oh, unfortunately, I've lost this call. Caller 0559-242-717, 0556-910-154. Let's see if we can pick two or three more calls and then we take a quick break before we get into Europe. 0559-242-717, 0556-910-154. Hello?
Hello, boss. Good evening.
Good evening, Chief. Your name and where are you calling from?
Quality Education. Calling from Bucci.
Quality Education.
Yes, boss.
Charlie, I like your name. Eh? Quality education. Is it bad quality education or good quality education?
Yes.
Is it bad quality education or good quality education?
This one is good education.
All right, good education. Yes. Quality education. Yeah. Let's hear from you.
Boss, you know, the problem is it's not all from the coach, you know. Main problem, you know, Akambi, because everyone is about Pam coach in Accra, these people know Om the Ho. Omne the main problem. Recruitment here in Omne, yes, recruitment. Bad recruitment. Because we have no deserve a year has under 20 and 17. We infer more house of folk. This kind of team appears now. We infer more house of folk. And then you know, so we want you to pump coach in a coach in the who's talk of 100 million coach in the Abahas of folk. This is this kind of people, no, three people to group in the same results in Ibina. And to coach in the way a problem here, but the main problem, no, hey, they cannot, this kind of people, the start three people, no more on a finish a progress and I say on Pamon. And the team has a folk in the a big and to me, many of you say. Chelsea near Madrid, Evini, and them there, my retitude. He has to go to the Menon. You say, maybe the other dad, and he may be him. You may be a mumfa.
All right. Quality education, Charlie. The guy makes too much. Hey, okay, okay. So take us to the final, you know, the other games, and then what do you make of the Ghana Premier League and the number of goals recorded? 4 goals from 6 games. Yes, 6 games. The 7th game will be played tomorrow.
Yeah. Kelvin, you see, we started a conversation with strikers, and that is what we saw this good week.
Yeah.
So Hearts of Oak considered 2, and then Brecum Chelsea scored 1.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 goals.
Yeah.
From
why don't you say Heart of Lions scored 2? Just, you want to hammer on Hearts of Oak?
Heart of Lions scored 2.
Uh-huh.
And then Brecum Chelsea. So this
and Medeama scored 1.
That was yesterday.
Yes.
That was yesterday. So yes. So that's for. So they should tell you that it's either the defenders are doing well, or the strikers
are doing bad.
But I'm forced not to believe that the defenders are doing well because I watched some of the games.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was at the University of Ghana Stadium, looking at what both teams did. I think it's just the quality, and that's why I'm not getting the goals. And maybe it's because Kotoko didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's not one goal they scored
because
last night.
Someone actually asked me yesterday if Ghana Premier League was going to be played this weekend. And I said, is Koko playing? And I was like, no. He said, it's not on the show, you know.
Exactly.
So yes. But then I think the quality is still a problem. But for her to fuck there, I'm not mobile. It will work. I'm one of those people who believe that Ouattara will be the man to take them to the promised land.
Are you being serious?
No, but then if you look at the problem currently, I don't want to pinpoint and then blame Ouattara or the players. I think it's just a combination of the two. Because Bill said he has lost 9 games, if I'm right.
Yes,
and
nine.
Then from the 9, 7 of them, is it that they concede in the early part of the game, latter part, or if they concede 2 goals, it's just about 10 minutes difference. Against Pangdart of Lions, they conceded 83rd and 88 minutes. So, and then from the against Basket Holy Stars, they conceded 3rd minute. Against Eduana last season, they conceded 11th minute. They lost that game. Like on Cities, they conceded 55th and 68th. 11 minutes difference. Against Midiama, 65th and 82nd. 17 minutes difference. Gold Stars, 79th. And then Samatex, 27th minute and 81st. Which will tell you that. Is it that the coach is not telling them to concentrate on the game very well? The players themselves think that they've gotten the results they want, so they just leave the game. So concentration, I don't know if we should take them to quality education for him to educate them on how to pay attention.
Quality says, Tim, where are you? On that note, we'll take a quick break. On our return, we zoom into Europe where we talk about the major leagues. Liverpool are in the forest. They need to find a location for their bus right now. We'll be back shortly. Welcome back from the break. This is Sports Ultras here on 3FM 92.7. My name is Kelvin Oswans. I am here with Prince, Bill, and then Augustine. We just finished with the local scene running into, the European scene. And a lot happened this weekend in the Premier League. Manchester City defeated Brentford by 2-1. Erling Haaland becomes the first ever player to score 9 goals in 4 games off this season in a single season. So very bright with Prince. This is Erling Haaland. What is making this guy so special? What is getting him, the goals?
Yeah, so I mean last week we were all here and people were saying that he's not the type that can link up play and all of that. But this guy is very, very effective with what he does. You give him the ball anywhere around the box and he gives you what you need, goals. So I think that we are living in Erling Haaland era currently. Everybody is just witnessing the new GOAT that is about to emerge or is already on the scene. So I believe that Haaland is a very, very gifted player. It's not what he does is no fluke.
Okay.
Look at the goal, the first goal he scored. I mean, he had somebody there who could block.
Yeah.
But the way he kicks the ball, I don't know how to explain it, but if you watch the clips, you see the way he kicks the ball. Eludes the keeper, eludes the defender who tries to block. So it's not the tappings. I think I beg to differ. People think that he only does tappings. Yeah. Haaland is a very gifted player, and I think we need to give him his flowers. He's delivering. And at times, as a Chelsea fan, it pisses me off. How can he just be doing these things? Can't anybody stop him? I think he has to be stopped at this point because he's too good. He's that good.
He needs to be stopped at this point. Belezean, I'll be going to Augustine, but let me come to you. Erik ten Hag and the victory that Manchester United had.
Yeah.
Very strong start for a Saturday, return from international break. 3-0 against Southampton. Is it the start of many things to come, or is it still the same old Ten Hag, but United were a bit lucky to get all the 3 goals against Soton?
Oh, we know Ten Hag very well. He can give you 3 solid weeks of nice wins and everybody will think they're going to challenge for the trophy or whatnot. But then it comes crashing down at some point. But I think it's a very big win for them. The momentum shifted immediately after Onana saved that penalty. Mind you, that was like his first penalty save in 18 attempts in the Premier League.
Wow.
18 attempts. So that shifted the momentum totally to Manchester United's end. And then, you know, shortly after, De Ligt scored, and then we saw Rashford score, we saw Garnacho also score later on. Very good results. Something they can build on, but again, it's Manchester United. If they face a bigger opponent, it might be problematic for them, mm-hmm. even at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
And so I would tell the fans to just wait and see what happens in the next four games. And then they can, you know, start believing that maybe things have really changed for the better.
Well, maybe things have really changed for the better. Liverpool lost 1-0 to Nottingham Forest at home at Anfield, mm-hmm. the dreaded grounds of all places. Augustine, is this just, you know, one out of the blue, or Liverpool fans should start getting worried about onslaught?
I think this game is just one of the uncertainties that will happen in the English Premier League. You watch Liverpool even under Jurgen Klopp last season, you saw as nothing happened against Crystal Palace. We've seen some seasons ago against Burnley and the others. But then I find it difficult to understand how Liverpool, with all the attacking arsenal, couldn't get a goal against Nottingham Forest. Well, Nottingham Forest did very well trying to defend their goal, but then, especially coming back to Anfield, and then with onslaught, I've always said that with Ryan Gravenberch in that Liverpool team, on a good day, when he's able to drive the ball for it, do the interception very well, do the tackles very well, get the balls to Dominic Soboslai, and then McAllister and Co, they're going to get the goals at the back of them. But it seems that Nottingham Forest were just on one target. Let's avoid conceding. Because if they had conceded, especially in the first half, they could have drank maybe two more. And then they would just die. But then they decided not to concede very well, or not to concede, defend very well, and protect their goal. That was their aim. And then mind you, this is why you have players such as Elanga, Hasnodoy, who just get the goal. And with the goal they scored, that very junction scored was a junction Liverpool people used to call Coutinho Junction. And then he scored on that same junction that Liverpool fans used to celebrate at. And now they are grieving. Yeah. So I think, yes, that was Serge Brilliance from Odoi. Look at how he shot the goal. Alisson just had no chance to save the ball. And that was one brilliance that I think, good quality, I think every team should get. One player that, if you defend very well, try to get the game at par, he will just get the ball and then bury it. So I think Odoi did very well for. And with him having that kind of Ghanaian background,
yeah.
it brings much happiness to us as well.
It brings much happiness. Prince, Chelsea beating Bournemouth 1-0. Is it, you know, I know it's good riddance for the Blues, but yeah. Was the performance convincing enough?
Anybody who knows Prince knows that I bleed blue.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, our team is now Heart Attack FC.
Why is it Heart Attack FC for you?
The whole game was just funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bournemouth at their home, even Bournemouth away, you see what they did to Everton.
Yeah.
Bournemouth at their home is not a joke. And they've become like a boogie side to Chelsea. Because anytime the Blues have met them in the past 3-4 years, they've been giving it to us water, home and away.
Yeah.
But yesterday, we had one over them. I mean, they played, they started very well. Look at that Tavernier shot that hit the post, that very first shot. Nearly took my breath away. But thank goodness, Sanchez was also able to. I think that Blues, our defense is just not in existence. We do not have a defense at this moment. From the midfield to the attack, we're okay. Mm-hmm. But when you come to the back, it's just not working. Because you have a player like this French defender. Fofana. You give such a pass to your keeper. I mean, who does that? So I think that we were just lucky Sanchez was able to make that save. So once we knew that we were keeping a clean sheet,
mm-hmm.
our boys at the up front could deliver. And that's what we saw when Sancho came in. Realized that Pedro Neto wasn't really having the runs that he would normally have. All the wings were clipped. But Sancho brought a different vibe to the whole game. And I think that he eluded his marker one, twice, thrice. And then when he got that brilliant assist to Nkuku, trust me, if it was Jackson, he would have missed. But thank God, Nkuku was there. He had composure. He just needed to turn because the ball was in motion and then he kicked it. So the Blues had won over Bournemouth, who has been their boogie side in the past 3 years. And I think that every Chelsea fan should be happy. And that's why I'm very happy today. Thank you.
So that is it there from Prince. But yes, North London was red and Billy Shen was very much happy. It's still red.
Yeah, it's red.
Yes, very much happy. But,
very, very red.
But I'll cripple him. He's not going to talk about it.
Oh.
Mohamed Kudus hasn't had a goal this season. Should we be worried? No assist too. Is it early days? Should Ghanaians be worried about Kudus and his form?
Since he signed that Kivu deal.
You too, Shandy. Continue.
Scoring any easy. Starboy, I said, when you're easy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Nina, any easy.
What do you think the problem is?
I think there's a relatively new coach in Lopetegui. He's probably getting used to that. Even though he's had chances, I believe, against Manchester City, he unfortunately hit the bar with a very good shot. I think he just needs to take his time. He just needs to remain calm because, you know, as Cristiano Ronaldo would say, goals are like ketchup. The moment you get the first one, others will just start flowing like that. And so I think he just needs to stay calm because in the Premier League, you can't score every single game. You're not Erling Haaland. Even he doesn't score every single game.
Yeah.
He scores in most games. And so it's just a matter of time. I think eventually he'll get the goal. I think eventually Lopetegui would, you know how to perfectly get the very best out of the Kudus that we know. And he would eventually score as many goals as he can. Last season, he got 8. I mean, his targets will probably be 10 this season. Let's see if he can reach that. But there's still a lot more time to do it.
There's still going to be a lot more time for him to do it. Is it about the positional change, Augustine?
You could take it to the positional change in a way, but then even if it's the positional change, it then needs to take time for him to gel. But look at Lopetegui as a man, he plays different from how David Moyes used to play. When Kudus was coming to West Ham, most people were against in the beginning because they said Moyes would defend, but then you don't know Lopetegui to be playing such kind of football. Though you meet bigger opponents, tougher opponents, you defend a bit and then catch them on counter as they did against Manchester City. But I think it's just about the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are in a team where they bought more than 10 players.
Mm-hmm.
I think the English Premier League, they did what Nottingham Forest did the last time. They bought most players. So every player needs to come in and gel. Although Kudus will have a constant place in the starting lineup. But I think the kind of players you play, because there's a time where you need to play with players like Mikel Antonio, who was not in and out during last season. Because last season, mind you, he played almost all the four positions up front.
Mm-hmm.
And then in some games, he could deliver. In some others, it wouldn't do. But I think he's just on the bad side this time. We've just played 4 games, so we have 34 more to go. So every time, probably, Lopetegui will have a trump card for him that, hey, this is how I want you to play. Or you are going to play in this specific position, but how I want you to execute is what I think we would get from him. Maybe you should contact our uncle Otuado to get more tips from him. But I think, yes, over time, you could see more of Kudus. But I think, yes, in English, it is difficult. You meet better opponents, not like how you get in there, and where your team is obviously the best team. So the opponents will come one by one, but I think time will just tell.
Well, it's going to take time. Well, back to Bill. If I don't let him talk about Arsenal, he'll kill me.
Thank you very much.
Arsenal defeated Tottenham also by 2 goals.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, 1 goal to nil at the new Tottenham.
I wish you had added.
Is this a signal that Arsenal is winning the league this season?
Hey, this one is hard.
I said they're hard. If it was last season, you'd have making noise here.
Yeah, I think this win solidifies Arsenal's dominance over Tottenham. I mean, last 3 away games to Tottenham, all wins. First time it's happened since 1988, I believe. Very long time ago. And so it goes to show how strong we are. And also set pieces. We have to increase that salary of Nicolas Jova. We have to increase the salary. Because since last season, we've scored 23
now
set pieces.
Now you are
pieces.
The appraisal officer at Arsenal.
Ah, we have to increase the salary. Since last season, Arsenal have scored 23 set piece goals, excluding penalties. No other team has matched that in the Premier League. No other team. And so we dominate in set pieces. We eat it alive. And someone like Gabriel Magalhaes has been on the end of it a lot of the time, scoring 15 goals since he joined the club in 2020. No other centre-back has scored more goals in Euro's top five leagues. That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful stuff. You see, three statistics in one goal. Beautiful stuff.
Charlie, this relation. a tough one.
Now you are reaching the bats.
All right.
But it's still early days to call for Arsenal winning the league. Remember, the team has lost key midfielders. Merino, who is a key new signing, was expected to be a starter. He's out. Odegaard, captain, out. Declan Rice will come back. But even with that, I mean, he can't, you know, shoulder the responsibilities of the whole midfield alone. That's why Odegaard was there. And so I think the next few fixtures are going to be very difficult. Manchester City is a very big test. Atalanta away, very big test as well. And we have other fixtures that are very, very big tests in this month. And so I hope that we get as many points as possible to give us a chance to, you know, compete for the Premier League trophy. But as for right now, Manchester City are favorites. I will admit that. Haaland is on superhuman form. I am sorry. Unless he gets injured, we are in trouble. that is the only way, to be honest. Unless him or De Bruyne gets injured, or both, hopefully both, we are in trouble. Mm-hmm. Because we can't stop those two.
Because Arsenal cannot stop those two, according to Belichick. That is Erlen Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne. Other results, Brighton 0, Ipswich Town 0, Crystal Palace 2, Leicester City 2, Fulham 1, West Ham United 1. And then there was Aston Villa defeating Everton by 3-2. That was a very exciting game. Today, Arsenal defeated Tottenham Hotspur by 2-0. And then Wolverhampton Wanderers suffered a 2-1 loss at the hands of Newcastle United. In the Spanish La Liga, Real Madrid defeated the opponent 2-0. It was a very good victory for Real Madrid against Real Sociedad. A 2-0 win for them. Sevilla 1, Getafe 0, Espanyol 3, Deportivo Alaves 2, and then Mallorca 1, Villarreal 2. As Carlo Ancelotti and Real Madrid finally gelling, and is Kylian Mbappe finding his feet, or you think? Penalties are not a real or true measure for Mbappe's quality and the kind of work he should do that people are expectant of.
The last points you made is what I side with mostly, because I think in the last five games, mm-hmm. they've had four penalties.
Yeah, four.
Yeah, which they've managed to convert all.
Yes.
And Vinicius has been at the end of most of them. And then now...
Yeah, two, I think three and then two for Mbappe, right?
Now Mbappe has converted two.
And Vinicius has converted two.
So, and even the one Mbappe has converted is just a mission to relieve him of the pressure.
Yeah.
So you take the penalties out and then it's just the go against Atlanta.
Yeah.
In that Super Cup final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not that Mbappe.
No, he scored one. He scored one last week. Remember? The pass.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah,
that
pass.
That was his
liberation.
Yeah.
That pass. So it's not that Mbappe is not getting the chances to score.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting the chances, and there are times you just need to place the ball in the net after a cutback, and then one way or the other, surprisingly, Mbappe manages not to score the goal. And now you watch their first games, and then you realize that Mbappe has been a point. Let's play. And trying to relieve Mbappe of the pressure. Let's get him the balls for him to score so that he will meet that expectation that people really have before he came. But with Carlo Ancelotti, with the kind of experience, the kind of players he has worked with back in AC Milan and others, I think he will still be able to work with these players. But the problem is them all drifting to the left. You watch Real Madrid game and then it seems they all want to play on the left flank, leaving the right flank, and that's why you see mostly Freddy Vivaldi drifting there, making those ones and others. But I think, yes, Mbappe, no one should be deceived that Mbappe's addition is something bad. It's a very good thing for them. But will it be able to get them what they want? That's the case here, the Champions League, De La Liga. It might be surprising if, after adding Mbappe, they'll find it difficult to even win the La Liga, as we are seeing currently. Mm-hmm. Because in La Liga, they are not the best team.
Yeah.
There's another side, mm-hmm. Which will prove that they are not the best. And then even the Champions League, it is yet to start. It is always known as Madrid's tournament. But it could also prove surprising for us to get in the Champions League, even the group stages, and then seeing them finding it difficult in some of the matches. The knockout stages will come, and maybe that might also be common. So I think, yes, they are finding it difficult today. Mbappe will surely come around, but I don't expect him getting on 10 on penalty goals before December. It will be very difficult. He has scored 3 goals now at Madrid, and in 2 has been penalties in the La Liga, but I still don't expect him to get 10 on penalty goals by December.
Well, that is from our guest in Quarter. Prince, FC Barcelona, you know, they are flying high under Hansi Flick, and
fantastic.
This afternoon, 4-1 victory for
fantastic.
Them. Is there any stopping?
Even with a red card.
Is there any stopping this team?
So, I believe that Barca have learnt. Okay, mm-hmm. Last season, it was clear that they had a coaching issue.
Okay.
Right, Flick.
So you think it was a coaching issue?
Yeah. Right. They had a coaching issue because you see, I remember when Barca began signing Koundé, Rafinha, any player Chelsea wants to sign.
Mm-hmm.
So me, I really have a beef with Barca, but
yeah.
I mean, you cannot contest quality. So any player we wanted to sign, they signed them. And then now these players are coming around. I recall seeing Rafinha very upset when Xavi pulls him off the pitch. But now Rafinha is playing with a smile. Everybody is happy. It looks as though Flick has been able to bring them together to play as a team.
Mm-hmm.
So right now everybody is working for one another and the team is gelling. Barca, yee. I mean, last season, all my Barca friends that I had were all struggling. But this season, you could see that everything is just working effortlessly. And it tells you that they had a coaching problem because Flick has not really added much. Okay, you can say Olmo, but he's really not added much. Olmo is a very, very efficient player, if you ask me. And he's delivering. It's quite unfortunate he had to come off injured. So we'll see how they fare without him. But currently, Barca is really delivering. And I give the credit 80% to Flick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Credit to Hansi Flick, according to him. Well, there were other results from the La Liga that I'll just briefly walk through, and then we get into the UEFA Champions League battle. It's going to be an exciting week. Well, Celta Vigo 3, Valladolid 1. Las Palmas suffered a 3-2 loss at the hands of Athletic Club. And once again, Nico Williams was on target, and his brother Iñaki Williams, 3 assists.
Yeah.
What some brilliant day it's been
player.
For him. Well, let me welcome my gentleman with it. Yes, I put this before
it's,
him.
It's been fantastic for Iñaki Williams. And you watch, it's the first time since 2005 where a player from Athletic Bilbao has gotten 3 assists in a game. So it's great for Iñaki Williams. And it also brings to the broader picture, what is head coach Otuado doing about Iñaki Williams?
Exactly.
And is it a question of not knowing how to utilize him in the Black Stars team? And it makes you question him, not just with Iñaki Williams, but then with the overall Black Stars players. What happens when they come here? Antoine Semenyo has had a blistering start to the season. He comes to the Black Stars. He misfires. Abdou Fattah Ouichahak, who just Leicester's young player of the season, he also comes to the Black Stars and he's trying to sort out his feet. You have the same questions running over and over and over and over. So it makes you wonder what happens when they put on the Black Stars. Yes. Is it the pressure that comes with it, or they just don't seem to get going when they're in the Black Stars? So for Iñaki Williams, I'm very happy for him that he's gotten this goal. We have Sudan coming up just in October, so it's good for him and his confidence because he's here to score a goal. But then given having an assist would mean that he would have the confidence, and if you have a confidence as a striker, it's everything your nation would need.
Well, it's everything your nation would need. Kwanzaa, would you want to have a bite at this?
Yeah, of course. With what Andrew said, yes, and we are still trying to find the cause of that problem. When Iñaki comes, you see that he is not able to play when he plays through the middle, through the right, through the left, and then at point in time, people even tend to call him a bad player because irrespective of where he plays, he's not been efficient, such that he doesn't get the kind of balls we'll get back in Spain. And that is what I feel we are also lacking. We just talk about the attacking threat, leaving the midfield. The base of our midfield, the core of our midfield is Asenal Thomas Partey. Asenal Thomas Partey come to Ghana and then, and he's also just a pale shadow of himself. He doesn't function. But what are we putting in place for that to also work? Otuadu goes around watching Ghana Premier League games, and I'm yet to see him going around to watch the English Premier League games and that is. Yes, we all watch them on TV, but then it comes with a different perspective watching them at the stadium and even talking to their technical teams. And it is normal to consult Arsenal technical team. How are you using Thomas Partey? It is fine. It's just about consultation. How are you using? Oh, we use him like this. You come to Ghana and it's always a double pivot. We can play this about two people and it's still a double pivot. You get, I time you get Salis, Partey, Edwin Dado, Partey, Majid Ashmiru, Partey. The Majid Ashmiru who brings in that kind of flexibility in the midfield is even a problem. Our players perform very well abroad. They perform very well in their clubs. But when it comes to Ghana, even at a point we are, at this point we are even blaming Kudus for holding onto the ball too much. You go to West Ham, though he's not scoring, but then you could tell that he's performing very well. I think with that, it's just a problem with the team itself. Because the team is not being performing. You don't expect one player to be the Jesus Christ of the team and perform. So I think they should consult. They should ask questions. How are you using this player? And that could be something to help us in the end.
With regards to the Kudus issue, I just want to say something on it. So for Mohamed Kudus, I think Julian Lepetigi is also finding his way out at West Ham United. He just got into the team. And it's not just Mohamed Kudus. The whole team isn't functioning as planned. You look at the recruitments they made coming into the season. They brought in a lot of good players and all of them have not yet gelled. You can even talk about Wan-Bissaka who already was in the Premier League and is still not really functioning as he would. And for Kudus himself, his longest goal scoring drought since he came to the Premier League has been 9 games. So I don't think Ghanaians should be jittery yet. It was 9 games and he scored on the 30th of March against Newcastle. And also, prior to his last goal, which was against Manchester City at the on the last day of the season, he had gone 7 games without scoring. So he's not yet touched those numbers. He's right now, I think, 4 games without scoring in the league. So we should just relax more for Mohamed Kudus. I think if the goals come, like Ten Hag and Ronaldo have said, it'll be like ketchup. It will just keep on flowing. So for Kudus, if he gets the first, the second and the third will follow thereof.
Well, we'll wait to see, yes, how things will unfold. But, yes, my producer, Emmanuel Andam, wants us to walk in through the UEFA Champions League matches that will be coming up. Let's preview some of the games. AC Milan against Liverpool. Prince, AC Milan playing against Liverpool. The two sides have not been... Liverpool were convincing until last Saturday, but Milan, if they also convinced us yesterday with their, you know, high-scoring victory.
I really do not trust Milan on this one. I would give it to Liverpool. Liverpool just misfired yesterday.
Yeah.
If you watch the game, Salah was all over the place. His passes were not finding their targets. And he looked a bit indifferent. And I didn't understand. You watch Nunes. This guy, what's his name? The Colombian. Diaz.
Yes.
Diaz. He made a few incursions here and there, but he could not also find the target, hit the post at some point. I think Liverpool would deliver over AC. AC is just, I'll just say maybe right now, they are just some Chelsea team B in the Serie A. I'm saying that because they've got all the Chelsea fringe players who left. And at times they play some nice football, but they are not clinical. I think that when push comes to shove and then the challenge is tough, they don't show.
All right.
Yeah.
They are not going to show up. Well, Andrews, Real Madrid, Stuttgart, is it a straight win for Madrid?
Yeah, it's a very easy win for Real Madrid and it's going to be tough for Stuttgart. I mean, you don't want to be coming back into the Champions League with this particular game against the holders who have a point to prove and they have an attack who, as you've said here extensively, they haven't fired as planned and they would want to take Stuttgart on a stroll. Probably they would want to find their feet and their gel with Stuttgart. So I foresee perhaps a hammering in that particular game.
Well, we'll foresee. Somebody is calling. Well, let me see. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Your name and where are you calling from?
Daniel calling from Sege.
Daniel from Sege. Daniel, let's hear. Yes. Let's hear from you. What do you want?
That Johnny's White.
No, tomorrow. Eh? Tomorrow morning, you come for Johnny's White, okay? Hey Charlie, Johnny. People want Johnny's bite on Sunday evening. Andrew, well, you are done, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, because PSG Girona, is there a straight win for PSG?
Girona seemed to be a very stubborn side last season, but this season is like that charm they went for it has been exhausted.
Yeah.
So I think PSG. Even though they perform quite at best, like when we get to the latter part of the Champions League, but this stage is just their business, and I believe, especially at the Parc des Princes, they are going to do well and get probably an easy PSG win against Girona over there.
Well, Andrew, is a repeat of the final was 2 years ago, Man City Inter Milan.
Yeah, for Inter Milan and Manchester City, they've been one of the brightest sides in Europe. Inter Milan, they've been high-flying in Serie A, going neck and neck with FC Napoli assistants at the moment, first and second, respectively, in the Serie A. Manchester City have also been excellent in the English Premier League. We're talking about Erling Haaland, who needs to be injured to be stopped. So that shows how dangerous he's been so far this season. So that particular game will be a difficult one, and I see it has a draw written all over it, because Inter Milan are a very difficult side to score against. Defensively, they are sound, and going forward, they are not bad. You have Lautaro Martinez, who is coming in at the back end of scoring a lot of goals in the Copa America, so he knows how to find the back of the net. And Manchester City have a force of nature in front there, so it's going to be you score, I score, but it's going to be who knows how to shove it up at the back. So it would win the game, the defense would come into play, and I see a draw in that one.
Monaco against Barcelona, looking at Barcelona's form, is it just a mismatch?
We can't draw that conclusion yet. Monaco have a nice history, but I'm sorry to say that they will not be able to stand the force that Barca is bringing this time around. So I see Barca edging them in this one.
You see Barca edging them in this one. Atalanta Arsenal.
This has to be a difficult game, but Atlanta this season, in about 3 or 4 games they've played, they've conceded 8 times, which tells you that they are really conceding. And you're also talking about an Arsenal side that you find it difficult to pinpoint a player you need to stop in the attack to prevent them from scoring. You stop Saka, and then Kai Havertz will come and score. You score Kai Havertz, Trossard will come from nowhere and come and bang in the goals. So I think we are going to see goals in that game. So and probably Arsenal could run away with a hard-fought win.
Well, probably Arsenal can run away with a hard-fought win. But we're talking about Aston Villa, and they are brilliant, you know. But they play against young boys. Andrews, do you see them getting this pass?
Yeah, so it's for Aston Villa, it's a good one to return against young boys. Young boys themselves, although they've been around the Champions League setting for a long time, they haven't been brilliant when it comes to the UEFA Champions League. So I see Aston Villa with the form that they are in, and the coach also now pondering over playing two centre forwards in Ollie Watkins and John Duran. If he goes with that pair, with the balance that they have in midfield, Amadou Onana, what he gives them, as well as Youri Tielemans, I see them winning. It should be an easy win for them, although it's an away fixture. I think Aston Villa, they should have enough in their team to bypass this one. And you can also speak about their defense, where Emiliano Martinez is also in post. Their captain, John McGinn, they have a solid side all around, so they should beat young boys easily.
They should be able to beat young boys very easily. You can call right now, who is winning the UEFA Champions League this season? I'm sure the season has started. You've seen all the clubs. Let's have your pick. 0559-242-717, 0556-910-154. From all that we've discussed, you can call and have your thoughts. Is it about Heart to Folk? Is it about Samatex? Is it about Instructorman? Is it about the Premier League, Manchester United? Or it's about the UEFA Champions League? My question is, who do you think will win this year's UEFA Champions League title? But don't forget that the matches are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For Thursday, Feyenoord will play against Bayer Leverkusen at 4:45. Same time, Red Star Belgrade against Benfica. So those of you who want to watch Ebenezer Annan, yes, you can watch him in that particular game. There's Atalanta against Arsenal that same day. And then there's also Atletico Madrid against RB Leipzig. And then Brest will play against Stormgrass. Monaco play against FC Barcelona on Wednesday. these are the games that will be coming up. Bologna against Shakhtar Donetsk. There's Sparta Prague against RB Salzburg. There's Celtic against Slovan Bratislava. Club Brugge against Borussia Dortmund. And Manchester City against Internacional. Paris Saint-Germain against Girona. So these are the games that will be coming up on Wednesday. But on Tuesday, Juventus against PSV Eindhoven. There's Young Boys against Aston Villa. AC Milan against Liverpool. There's Bayern München against Dynamo Zagreb. Real Madrid will play against VfB Stuttgart. And the Sporting Club de Portugal play against Lille in those games there. Well, I'm just going to, you know, bust your mind small. Questions on the UEFA Champions League. Starting from your guesting, Tony Adams played in the Champions League for which club?
Who?
Tony Adams.
Tony Adams?
Yes.
I'm young.
Tony Adams.
Can you pass a question?
All right. Yes, Andrew.
Arsenal.
Okay. Yeah. The Bernabeu is the home of Real Madrid. What is the home of Aston Villa going into the Champions League?
Do I answer that?
Well, Prince, in 1999 Champions League final, which of the players was suspended for the final?
I have no clue.
Andrew.
Roy Keane.
Yes, Roy Keane. Yeah. It was Roy Keane. Steven Gerrard played in the Champions League for Liverpool. Which club did Giovanni Elba play for, Prince? Giovanni Elba.
Nah.
All right.
Same Liverpool.
I'm sorry.
I have no idea.
FC Elba. FC Bayern Munich.
Okay.
FC Bayern Munich. Well, Lionel Messi scored, you know, in Barcelona's 7-1 victory, home win against Bayer Leverkusen in the 2011-2012 Champions League round of 16. How many goals did he score? No.
Fuck.
He scored a hat-trick.
I'm sorry.
He's got five.
He still cannot beat the goats for number of goals in there.
That's
what you're saying, Charlie. The goat fans. All right, so now I'm going on according to you. Lose your question and that's it. Which team won the 2008 final?
United.
All right.
They beat Chelsea.
Okay.
It was very painful.
All right. So United won that.
Yeah.
Which was the only team to win all six of their group stage matches in the 2011-2012 Champions League, Andrew?
I think FC Barcelona.
I'm sorry. Branson, you want to try?
That's something characteristic of Bayern Munich.
I'm sorry. You?
Madrid?
Real Madrid. Yeah. Wow. Yes. It was Real Madrid. So, Branson, to your question. Who did Manchester United beat in the 98-99 Champions League quarterfinal? Andrew.
Juventus.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're too confident. Yeah. It's Inter Milan.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right. So, who was the player to score in 16 different Champions League seasons, Prince?
CR7.
I'm sorry.
Rangix.
Thank you. Rangix. You think Ronaldo has all the... Rangix. 16 different Champions League seasons. Rangix. Wow. Who missed the penalty for Arsenal against FC Bayern Munich in the Champions League?
In which season?
In which season, yes.
You want to Arsenal Champions League, you're winning Bayern. You're winning a penalty. Yes. A penalty in Bakope. Ubi Bosa, you know. Who was that?
Wow.
Someone missed the penalty kick.
Shoot it. Beckham?
I'm sorry. Hey.
No. Van Persie.
No.
No idea.
Ozil.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. We shoot Ozil. He said long time ago. It wasn't long time ago. Okay. So, since you people, who scored Chelsea's second goal at Stamford Bridge in the Champions League 2014 quarterfinal against Paris Saint-Germain?
John Terry.
Hazard.
Alex.
Demba.
Where did you go to Alex?
Demba. It is Demba. Demba. All right. So, the 19... No. If I go 99, you people... Who scored the winning goal for Paris Saint-Germain in their 2-1 win over Olympiacos?
Which year?
It won the year. If I don't give you the year,
you know the score, so we'll get the year.
All right, okay, let me know the score.
No, when we get the year, we can find the score.
I won't give you the year. Find the score.
Wow.
Find the score for me.
Olympiacos.
Mm-hmm. Olympiacos, yes. I didn't think Cavani.
Oh.
All right, Edinson Cavani. Let's see if you can do two or three, and then we'll call it a wrap here. In 2008, Barcelona won the Champions League. In 2009, they won it. In 2007, who won the Champions League?
AC Milan.
AC Milan. Who won the Champions League in 2009 for Barcelona, and then in 2010 for Inter Milan? Augustine.
Was it Eto?
You're asking me. Yes, it was Samuel
Eto'o.
Well, Salomon Kalou played for a club in the UEFA Champions League in 2012-2013. Which club was that?
Galatasaray?
No.
Chelsea?
No.
Leo?
Thank you. Yeah. Leo. Yes. Leo. Leo. When which Manchester United player was sent off in the UEFA Champions League quarterfinal against Bayern Munich in 2010?
Yeah, man, you fan.
2010.
Vidic.
I'm sorry. Very stubborn guy.
He's a very stubborn guy. Justin Park.
How is Park stubborn?
He's everywhere.
He's black.
He's green.
But Evra? Evra?
No, that was Raphael. Which team? Yes, Raphael. Yes.
Raphael's not stubborn.
Yes. Ah. Which Rafael is not the one? Did you know that guy?
How can this cute player be stopped?
He said, all right, as of the 2012-2013 season, how many Czech players had won the Champions League?
One. Peter Czech.
I'm sorry, four. Maybe eight. For which club did Jesus Navas play in the 2009-2010 UEFA Champions League?
City. Sevilla.
Yeah, Obia come what you Obia come what? All right. How many Champions League medals did Adriano win? Adriano Leti.
None.
Two.
One.
It was one.
One.
But the guest helped you.
Oh. Oh, I knew it was one.
Yeah.
None, two, one.
All right. Carlos Tevez, how many did he win?
Two. You.
Sorry.
One.
All right.
One. Okay.
Claude Makélélé.
Makélélé. None.
You won one.
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 What the? What the? Tweedy. Jabstam.
One.
So Owen Hargreaves won two Champions League medals. True or false?
Owen Hargreaves.
Yeah.
I'll say true. One with United.
Mm-hmm. And the other?
Bayern.
Yeah.
FC Bayern Munich. Cristiano Ronaldo played in the 2013 Champions League for Real Madrid. Carlos Tevez played in the 2013. But there is one player who played in that same year. He's French. He's half French and could have played for the French national team.
Yeah.
But had to choose Belgium.
Eight.
Which player is that?
The question is a thesis question.
It's a thesis, yeah. All right, that is Calvin Oswansa. Thanks to Andrews, thanks to Augustine, and thanks to Prince Billishan, who was also here earlier, and to Emmanuel Andam for the production. And Akweku Anderson, yes, is also on the other side helping with production. Same time next week, we'll be here to bring you the very best of the weekend's action. Lesile Teboho beating for the first time since the Olympics 200 meters this time around. Bednarik made sure that he paid for all the joy he had enjoyed in the last couple of weeks. Well, I know Andrew wanted to have a shot at it, but time is up. Same time next week, we'll be here. My name is Kelvin Owusu-Ansah.
The best sports team in the country. Get interactive with us across all social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 3SportsGH.